This is lesson 7. This thing is designed to go through 8 lessons. Next week is hands-on. And so this week is going to be a practice time, but we got a lot of points to cover as part of this, and so we'll use the first part to cover this. Obviously, we won't be able to deal with every verse by looking it up and teaching this material and still have time to practice. So let me just tell you just a few introductory things for you tonight that should be a help for you. Number one, let's pray and then we'll get started. Father, we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Father, we don't rely upon our knowledge of this subject or our wisdom or our personality or our attendance at these meetings or what we've learned to be able to be more proficient at soul winning. We rely upon you. And we rely upon you tonight to help us with the hour and a half that we have left for our studies tonight to use our time wisely. And we ask you, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to teach us the things that we need to know tonight that will prepare us for the work that you should have us to do tomorrow and for the work you have us to do next Thursday. And we ask you to do all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, our objective next week, next Thursday, is for you to meet here, pray together, and actually take some names and go and do what you've learned. You know, it's kind of like, go and do thou likewise, okay? What thou doest, do quickly, Jesus said to Judas Iscariot. Talking to somebody that you've never met before in your life about this subject of Jesus Christ can be unnerving, okay? And I know that and am well aware of it, and what the Lord has led us to do and given us the opportunity to do is that Brian and I have gone out 5 times, I guess. Went out Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday this week, and at least a couple of times before this, and we'll go out again a couple more times, Lord willing, before he returns to the rig Wednesday. And we've been dealing with souls in various neighborhoods, over by Kiko's restaurant, right down McNorton Road here, over in Robstown so far. Been dealing with some folks. We've been praying and asking the Lord to lead us. And I have seen, so has Brian, that by the end of our time of visiting, if the Lord had someplace else for us to be, it wasn't very evident because there were a lot of good things that happened where we were. Okay? But our objective has been to prioritize enough good return visits set up for next Thursday night so you guys can go somewhere where somebody's expecting to see you. And I've got a list of the names. I didn't print enough for everybody to take a copy. I did for the Woods to take a copy and the Knuppels to take a copy. There's 10 or 12 sheets printed. You take this home and you can be praying over those names of those people and their circumstances. You may not be the one who visits. You know, you obviously won't visit with all of these. Somebody's going to visit with all of these. You can pray for all of these. They'll be there. They'll receive the people that have come to visit with them, and that they will be honest in responding to you, and the Lord will be present, and that you will be able to give them what the Lord wants them to have, and that whatever work has been done can progress. None of these people that you're going to see are saved, but they all have received a New Testament that's marked, a tract, and some level of gospel witness whereby they have said, you know what? Yes, I would like for somebody to come next Thursday night around 6:30, 7 o'clock and talk to me about Jesus. I hope we have enough contacts so that you can go to a couple places. We're not there yet. I hope we have enough so that if something blows out, because you know how it is, people say, yeah, I'll be here, and then something comes up, the kid had a baseball game, and they forgot about that or whatever. You don't feel like you've been busted. And we're going to talk a little bit about tonight what to do in the event you get somewhere it didn't work like we planned. I am excited about this. I've never seen soul winning done this way. And when I say that, I'm not saying that to take credit for something. I believe this is something the Lord wants. Lizzie was in church in Waco. And they're using something Randy and I know about called the Spark of Grace Survey, where take people like you that have an interest in trying to do something for the Lord, and you go to people's houses in a neighborhood, and you just give them an 8-question survey, and the last question is, you know, if you're tonight, are you sure you're going to heaven? And if they say no, would you like somebody to come back and show you how you can be saved? So everybody that's doing what you do only gets to go as far as a survey, finding out where the prospects are, and then the A-team goes in and leads them to Jesus. You know, when I saw that, initially I was very interested. I thought, boy, that's something. That's a great way for people to kind of get into this. But, you know, the more I thought about it, the more I didn't like it, because although they are laboring in the harvest, the surveyors don't get to take advantage of the opportunity to talk with somebody right then about the Lord Jesus Christ if the Holy Spirit has a desire for them to hear about the Lord. I thought, you know what, it would be better, and after going through 6 weeks of this now and this being the seventh, I think this is far better for you to be equipped to talk to anybody about Jesus Christ at any time. Well, yeah, this isn't tonight an evaluation of the survey. I mean, we may incorporate that as well as part of what I'm just saying is what you guys have been through has given you more information than just being able to take down the answer to 8 questions. You've been given something here that will allow you comfortably and confidently to speak to other people about Jesus Christ when given the opportunity. Another thing that's come to mind, Ryan spends a couple of weeks a month on the rig. And Doyle and I have had an opportunity to do this together. Randy and I have had an opportunity to do this together. I'm looking forward to an opportunity of going with several of you guys when time allows and be able to work together on this very same thing to keep what we've done going so it doesn't just stop with next week's visits. It'll be good for us. It's good for the men. They'll be able to go with their wives. And God, I hope, will take this little foundation and raise up laborers to enter into his vineyard. You know, when you think about, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest, you don't need spotters. Oh, there's a piece right there. Did you pick that one right there? Oh, there's another one. Come pick this. We've actually been able to labor in the harvest, and you're going to enter into where some seed has been sown and hopefully have the opportunity to reap where another man has sown and water where another man has sown in preparation for whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do next with that, wherever it leads when you go next Thursday. That's exciting. It's exciting, and to me, it works out real well. It keeps this thing. We'll see where the Lord develops this as we go. I'm not going to pass these on until the end of the lesson tonight, but this is the list. And what we've done here is we've given you, if we know it, the last name, the first name, the address, and there are none of them saved, and a little bit of information just so when you get there you got an idea what you're dealing with, some sort of introduction. And each one of these knows, we said, somebody will be back from our church Thursday night next week. That's good. Looking forward to it. Some of us have said, you know, like Yolanda, it'd be better for women to come or a couple to come. So we've made note of that as well. So we're pretty excited about that. We'll talk about that at the end of the lesson tonight, okay? Tonight this is going to give us an opportunity to practice. And eventually, before we finish tonight's lesson, what you'll be able to do is two couples and two couples can talk, or a couple of guys and a couple of ladies can talk. And all you're going to do is just begin to talk with somebody about Jesus Christ, a little bit of what you've learned, a little bit about your testimony, and get used to hearing yourself tell somebody else that you know about the Lord Jesus Christ, and get used to prayerfully considering what you say to somebody about Jesus, and then have them the opportunity to talk back with you and hear yourself telling somebody about the Lord. Now, some of you have already done this, and it's not a big deal to you. Some of you, this will be early on for you. You'll be like, ooh, I don't want this person to listen to me telling about Jesus. Well, if it's tough in here, just imagine what it's going to be like when you're at their doorstep, okay? So we're just trying to break that ice a little bit and give you a chance at the end to just make a few comments and debrief it and see if there's any problem areas, okay? So that's where we're leading. Before we get into that, let's look at this little handout here. And Brian and I sat down together tonight before y'all got here and considered everything that we saw the last 5 or 6 times we've been together and tried to put those things in some sort of an order about what happens when you get to talk with somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you have an opportunity to speak with somebody about Jesus Christ, do these things that are on the list. Number one, pray about what to say and when to say it. The reference is Nehemiah, but Nehemiah was very concerned about the broken walls in Jerusalem. The king said, what do you want? First thing Nehemiah did is prayed, and then he answered. He didn't answer before he prayed. And you really, really want to do that. Pray about what to say and when to say it. Sometimes not saying anything is better than saying something. Okay? Second thing you want to do is if you don't know the person, introduce yourself. Tell them who you are, where you go to church. And when they introduce themselves, pay very careful attention to what they say. Many of you will say, you know, I'm not good with names. How many of y'all are not good with names? You know, generally speaking, the whole crowd. generally speaking, the reason for that is that there's a little bit of tension when you're introducing yourself and you give your name and you're checking out some other things and that thing doesn't get back into your ear. Listen very carefully when they give their name and use it. You know, if you say, they says, okay, my name is Juan Morales. They say, Juan, it's nice to meet you. See, you've already repeated it once. But if you get a chance to visit with this person, you'll probably want to repeat their name a couple of times while you're speaking to him because it shows your personal interest in that. You're not just out there, Cutco salesman. You're making an acquaintance. You may be building a lifelong friendship when that person gets saved. And it starts off well to remember the name. It's important to use that name. Now, Proverbs 22 says a good name is rather to be desired than silver and gold and loving favor rather than whatever it is, great riches. You may not think much about their name when they give it to you. They think something about it, though. So it's important. Be compassionate. Everything in here is a male pronoun, but if you're dealing with one individual, that's not a there. And I didn't want to say his, her on everyone. So be compassionate because he's going through something even though you don't know what it is. I guarantee it, when Lou Ann Lennon and Glenda went and gathered up prayer requests in the park over there because we weren't getting anybody to come to the booth that we could witness to, they wouldn't talk to you about Jesus. But, buddy, they would tell you their most personal, deep secret if you were going to pray for them. Kids in jail, busted marriage, lost my job, cat cancer, and you're like, wow. Everybody's going through something. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. The Savior about whom you are going to speak, when you're witnessing to them, he knows all about that stuff. He's been through all of that. Hebrews 4:15. 13 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Listen, he's been through it. He knows the troubles, and he's been touched. You know what, so have you. You've been through. Some of you have been through death, problems with the children, health problems, financial problems, a variety of things. So Ezekiel 3:15, Ezekiel goes to Tel Aviv and he sits where they sat. He sat there for 7 days just astonished at what they were seeing. Just sit where they sat. Just put yourself in their shoes for a minute if the role was reversed and they were coming to your door. The more compassionate that you are, because Jesus Christ is compassionate, the more they will want to listen to you. What do they say? They don't care what you know until they know that you care. Now, you don't have to get over gushy. I'm not talking about that, but this isn't a sales job, okay? This is life and death. All right, state your purpose. Matthew 18:11 says, Jesus Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. And that's what you're doing there. Let them know what you're there for. We're here to tell you about the Lord. We're interested in your soul. We're here to tell you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, whatever the case may be. But then they understand, okay, this guy is not selling me something. You know, he wants to talk to me about my soul. Brian and I found that having a tract, or more importantly, this marked New Testament as a gift, is a really good thing. I think they've all seen it, but run, go get one real quick back there. If they're there, any of them will do. There's one right here. Brian, here's one. Y'all all had it last week. Okay. Yeah, y'all saw it last week. All right. When Brian would go up to the door, knock, hi, I'm Brian Boatman, Bible Believers Baptist Church, here to talk to you about your soul. We're passing out these New Testaments. We have one. This is a gift for you. Let's talk. I mean, we only had, actually, we didn't even get the door slammed in our face. She came out and left. The son stayed out there and talked to us, you know. But everybody was like, oh, you got something to give me. All right, the Bible says a gift maketh room for him. And it goes before you. They like that. And I'll tell you, when we get ready to do some Bible distribution, which is going to help really open some doors, and they see that New Testament, the picture of the Harbor Bridge is on it, and it's presented to them by Bible Baptist Church, they're going to appreciate that, if nothing else. That is a good opener. And so when you're visiting with somebody, have that ready. And you know what? We used it a number of times when we were witnessing to them. We just used the New Testament we were going to give them. They were already getting familiar with their Bible. But if not, if you're going to use your own, I use this New Testament. I like it because the print is bold and a little bit easier to read. One fellow we witnessed to, he said, my eyes aren't any good. And I jokingly, he was about where Lizzie is, and I was jokingly holding it like that. He goes, hold it right there. I can see that. I mean, I'm serious. And he read the verses. I mean, he wasn't kidding. So I like to use this. You can see I've used it quite a bit in and out of the back pocket. For men, that's important. You know, I used to go up to people's doors. They always said, don't have your Bible out. Put it right here. I found it's just better to have it right there. There's your authority anyway. That's what you're here to talk about. Nothing to be ashamed of. So I just kept holding it right there. Or those New Testaments we had. If not, we have these. We have these little New Testaments. They're the size of a Gideon New Testament. We've got 30 of them back there in the deal. The print is not as big, but it's very, very clear. You understand? Some type is not easy. This is real easy type to read. So you might want to, if you don't have something small like this for your purse or your breast pocket or your back pocket, you might want one of these. I don't know what they are, a couple dollars a piece, but it's worth it to give it to you if you're going to use it to tell people about Jesus. Okay? So that's what your purpose is. And there's your New Testament. Now, show him what the gift is that you're giving him. Show them how to use it, because that provides an opening. In other words, we'd take that Bible right there that you looked at last week that Randy showed you. We'd turn it right to the beginning in front of Matthew, and we'd say, look, this is a marked New Testament. It's a King James Bible, but it's marked like a road map. And turn it right to page 115. Look at that verse that's underlined there. Look at that page. It just takes you right through there. There's 14 discipleship lessons in the front. See what those are? Little plan of salvation in the back. This is yours. We want you to see that. And by that time, you usually, if they have time, they're ready to listen to you talk a little bit. You've already, they know who you are. They know why you're there. You've gotten a gift for them. And if they don't have something pressing them, they'll sit and listen to you for a little bit. But respect their time. And try to gauge their interest. There's nothing worse getting started on a conversation about the Lord when they're trying to get the diaper changed and the kid to soccer practice, okay? It doesn't work. If the guy doesn't have the time or the girl doesn't have the time or this person's not interested, don't press it. Don't press it. One of the things you can do, and we found this to be successful, you can say, you know what, if now is not a good time, is there another time that would be good? We just had that yesterday, the last visit we made. We're coming back down the road here, and a lady came out when the popsicle man came by. And so she came out with the kid, ran back to the house. We went up, we had two New Testaments, or one New Testament, something like that left. Ryan walked up there and introduced himself, and she was like, man, if I had the time, we'd put down the chairs and we'd get talking. But she said, look, this 3 to 6 time in the afternoon is terrible for me. Three kids work. My husband just got home. He's changing jobs. He's going to leave again. My best time, she said, is 11 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I will talk to you if you can come here between that time. Yes, ma'am, that's what we'll do. How about next Thursday between 11 and 2 if we had a couple of ladies come by? She said, that's fine. And she was Hispanic and was talking Spanish to the people back in the house. I said, do you prefer to speak English or Spanish? She said, I prefer to speak in Spanish if I can. So, how's your Spanish? Tex-Mex, that's the best. Sure, it's the best. It's what everybody speaks around here. I mean, have you ever listened? I was down at Walmart, entonces. Just back and forth from English to Spanish. It's the best. She would like, yeah, so that would be a good visit for you. And I mean, she was ready. But you know what? That wasn't a good time. We didn't press it. You're not, listen, it's a good visit, a good return visit is better than trampling the vineyard and making somebody mad. Next time somebody comes, bam, the door's going to get shut. All right, if he shows an interest in the gospel, hey, we have told you for 6 straight weeks, lay back, don't press it, let the Holy Spirit do it. But listen, if the person is interested and wants to get saved, lead them to Jesus Christ. All right? Randy showed you the verse there, 1 Peter 3:15, but it's good. Repetition is a good teacher. Go back to it again because you probably can't quote it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And pay attention to something here because it was in your lesson last week under the PLANSS. All right, 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What's the first thing he said? Huh? Sanctify the Lord in your heart. You know, when you and the Lord have had some good preparation time where the Lord can... sometimes we used to ride horses that were a little spooky. We'd put them in that little riding corral that's just round pin and ride them around a little bit, kind of get them worked down a little bit, going easy. Then we'd take them out and work them. You and the Lord spend a little time in the round pen. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And then be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Okay? Because you're going to come across somebody sometime that's ready to be saved, and you don't want to hold back if that's what the Lord is trying to do. So if you're ready, then the Lord can use you to help bring them to Jesus Christ. Now, those are some important preliminary thoughts and comments, but now listen to this as we get going. As you witness, allow the Holy Spirit to reprove the individual of sin, righteousness, and judgment. It was on your test. John chapter 16, verses 8 through 11, that's why he comes. And I'm going to tell you something. We talked to a lady, she's on the list. The Bible says you're a sinner. Absolutely. Here's what it means to be short of the glory of God. I understand that. When we started the witness, I said to her, you know, one of the reasons that we like to talk to people about the Lord is this. Most people don't understand their personal need of Jesus Christ as their Savior. I said, it's like this. If you and I were in a boat out in the bay, the motor's running fine, weather's fine, everything's good, got a little music playing. Wouldn't it be silly for the Coast Guard to come up, board the boat, and say, we're here to save you, and throw you on board the Coast Guard boat and run you back to shore? I said, it's totally needless because we don't need to be saved. If you fall out of that boat and you're drowning out there, you need the Coast Guard in the worst sort of way to save you. Well, I said, most people don't realize they're out of the boat. So we're going through there. She's agreeing with everything. Yep, that's right. I'm a sinner. Yep, sinners go to hell when they die. Yep, everybody's going to be judged. I said, so where are you? In or out of the boat? Oh, she said, I'm in the boat, no question about it. I said, and why is that? Because she said, I keep the commandments. See, in other words, she agreed with all of those things, but there was no Holy Spirit reproof there at all. So I said, okay, you know the first commandment, right? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. You do that? Oh, she said, absolutely. I said, she's Catholic, right? Praise the rosary. Bible says, thou shalt have no graven images before thee to bow down to them of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. You keep that? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Take the name of the Lord God in vain? Never. I'm thinking, no, I'm going to run down the rest of these commandments and we're going to get a hit miss all the way down. I said, may I show you something? Sure. Went over to Acts chapter 10 and I showed her Cornelius. I said, there's a devout man that prayed all the time, gave alms to the poor, and feared God. And you know what his problem was? He was out of the boat. And boy, really, He was out of the boat? I said, yeah. I said, what you don't realize is you're out of the boat. Now let's go back to this again. Well, you know, we just sowed some seed. You know what we didn't do? We did not attempt to lead that lady to Jesus Christ. She wasn't ready. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to testify of Jesus Christ and make sure that they understand it's His righteousness, not mine. My sin, not His. His judgment I can't pass. And the desperation of being drowning in the water without your own boat. Get in there. In Acts chapter 24, which is listed here, you should read these verses, by the way. Paul is dealing with Felix, and he deals with him about judgment and righteousness and temperance. And you know what? Well, let's look at it real quick. I'll show you something. I'll show you how Felix responded to this. Acts chapter 24, look at verse 24 and 25. Acts chapter 24, verse 24 and 25. You know, after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of him, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, what was Felix's reaction? He trembled. Felix trembled and answered and said, get out of here. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. And that shook him up. You know what? I get more nervous about somebody that's just totally apathetic about this than I do somebody that likes it. Or I'd rather them get mad. At least you know it's getting under their skin. Now, don't try to make them mad. The old training I had said, well, bless God, wound them or win them. No, I don't believe that. If there's any wounding that needs to be done from reproof, the Holy Spirit can do that with a two-edged sword. He does not need me slapping people around. Pope, you're a Catholic. Well, there's no hope in the Pope. The Pope is a dope. You pray the rosary? Are you kidding me? 50 prayers to Mary after everything Jesus Christ has done for you? What? I mean, you're like, boing, bang, 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 down the stairs you go. I mean, that's, you don't do all that stuff. No, it's not necessary. But you have to allow the Holy Spirit to do that. So it's okay to say something, stop, see what the reaction is. See, when I first was seeing how this work is done, they said, boy, you just get in there like a freight train. Because when they're being reproved by God, all the mouths of all the world will be stopped and guilty before God, Romans 3:19. So you do all the talking. Don't let them ask any questions. Try to get them to pray with you. No. You leave them a little something. See how the bomb's going off. See how it's going. Because you can rush past the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit hadn't reproved them sufficiently or shown them their need of Jesus or His sufficiency to meet their need, then just don't run that train past them. You understand that? And you can see that. One of the ways you can see that is in the next point, at the appropriate time, ask Him how God will judge him. See if he understands his condition before God. Brian was visiting with a fellow over in Robstown, and he said, how's it with you and God? After he took a big drag on a cigarette, he said, oh, man, it's good between me and God. He sat down there. Long story short, you know, after Brian showed him a lot of the stuff in the gospel, he realized, you know, maybe it's not as good as I think, but he still, you know, felt like everything was all right. Contrast that with a visit we had down here with a young man that's on the list. Brian goes through the first three parts of you're a sinner, you're going to be judged, and sinners go to hell without Christ. And he said, so let me stop right there and ask you a question. With the Bible, right, you know, the Bible's open right there. Let me ask you a question with Revelation 28:1-8 right there. So if you were to die right now, where would you go? He said, to the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. That's where I'd go. He said, you sure about that? He said, no question. That's exactly where I'd go. That's a big difference. Me and the old man upstairs, we're tight. And no, I'd go in the lake of fire. Now, Stephen didn't get saved. But if he was being honest about what he saw here, he recognized something about his condition. You can ask him. And you know what? I heard somebody say this the other day, I think on the radio. No, I didn't. I read it as a quote in Reader's Digest. That's authoritative. You take my word. Take my word for it. No, but it was a good quote. The quote was true. People do not listen to hear. People listen to respond. You know what that means? When you're talking, I'm not thinking about what you're saying. I'm thinking about what I'm going to say next. If you ever have watched any, you go to the doctor's office and they got those things on TV. They don't listen to each other. They're just talking over each other the whole time. The worst thing you can do is have a person say something to you and you go on like he didn't say anything to you at all. You listen to what they say. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaketh. If you listen really, really carefully when a person opens his mouth, if it's not just foolishness. We talked to a guy yesterday. Oh, my. What a waste of time. Just absolute foolishness. He used to drink a lot, and he told us that. And so he's used to that barroom jabber, right? That guy's got something to say, and you're listening. The Holy Spirit can help you discern what's in that person's heart. Not only that, the Bible says in Proverbs, read the verse, the preparations of the hardened man and the answer of the tongue is of the Lord. If the Lord's been dealing with him and he says something, you're going to hear where the Lord has already been with him, where this guy's already had a chance to see something with the Lord. A couple of years ago, I was down on the seawall witnessing, just passing out tracts, just lumbering along by myself, just having a big old time. Came up to this truck, and there was this guy and this lady there, and I just stuck my head in there like I was their, yeah, their buddy. How you guys doing? Oh, I said, man, this is a beautiful, and it was a beautiful afternoon, just looking out over the water and all that. I said, you know, anybody talk to you about your soul lately? No, he said, you know what, but it's interesting, we've been thinking about it. Matter of fact, I was just praying last night. So we got to talking for a long conversation, and it was beautiful. Very, very Spirit-led. God had really been working with this man. We're just walking through. As he's talking, I'm just giving him a little Bible and walking through that. He said something to me. He said, I had a tire almost blown out on my truck back when I didn't have any money. I prayed one night that the Lord would replace that tire for me. Next day, I'm driving, and on the median of an esplanade where Moores are working, there was a tire there. And I got out and picked that tire up and threw it at the back of my truck to get it out of the way of the mower, and it was exactly the size I needed. I said, you know, God did that for you. He said, I know God did that for me. And I said, in the same way that he gave you that tire when you needed it, he will give you Jesus Christ because you need him. He dealt with a carnal need there. He'll deal with a spiritual need now. And that guy just lit up. I mean, he just beamed knowing that God would do that for him. But, you know, that whole, he was doing the conversation. I was just replying with some scripture. And then you want to respond biblically to things that he says. Because this is this book, this word of God is what leads him to Jesus. Give him a Bible verse, a Bible story, or a Bible illustration. You know, sometimes the story of Gideon, the story of David and Goliath preaches volumes. If you can get the verse like you saw in your test, the great thing the Holy Spirit needs in reminding you about the Word of God is Scripture memory. Notice 1 Peter 4:11 says that you're going to answer as the oracles of God. These are the oracles of God. Look at Matthew chapter 10. We're going to take a break here in just a second, but I just wanted to finish all this. We're doing good on time. Matthew chapter 10. If you're, listen, do you know you can speak and pray at the same time? Oh, yeah. If you ever been up here, you know it desperately. Not only do you want to be listening to the person that you're talking to, but you want to be listening to the Lord. Matthew 10:19, I realize this is about men who are on trial for their faith. But listen, when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Now, the Spirit of God knows what he wants delivered to that individual. So while you're listening to what's going on, what you want to be doing is praying, Father, is there a verse, a Bible story, a place in the Bible that addresses this thing he's saying? And the Spirit, I'm telling you, if you're in your Bible, the Spirit will be able to direct you to the passage that will answer the concern. And when that person sees that God has an answer in this Bible for his concern or need, and he can understand it, you will be amazed at the response. Amazed at the response. Because the Bible will speak to him. The Bible has an answer for every question. Every question. Ann and I were visiting with a lady who's on this list, and that's going to be a precious visit for whoever gets that one. She is in dialysis and in chemotherapy and has already had an amputation. And she's had some tough things in her life, and she has a sweet, sweet spirit. 52 years old. And in visiting with her, she said, I have a question, but I don't want to ask it right now because I want to hear what you have to say. That was good. We finished up the gospel. She said, I'm going to ask you that question. And it had to do with bitterness. So I showed her two passages of Scripture that deal with that, showed her what that situation was. One, she said, would God let me into heaven with this bitterness? Would he forgive me with this bitterness? Ephesians 4:31 says, let the bitterness be put away from you. 32 says, and be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I said, his forgiveness comes to you before your forgiveness comes to the other person. Yes, he can do that. Boy, she was like, thanks. That's 30 years, folks, that she's been holding that. With the cancer and the diabetes and the dialysis and the amputation. And a son just come home from Afghanistan, 30 years. And I told her, I said, the Bible has an answer for every question you have. Now, I would love to be there next Thursday night for that visit. But I would much rather you be there and let God give you what she needs. I hope she gets saved. Hope she gets saved. Now, last thing, and then we'll take a break. Some of you, you're going to get, we're going to have done everything we can possibly do to get it set up and ready, and you're going to get there, and it ain't going to happen. It's going to be a bust. And you're going to think, well, poot. You know, not really. We're going to try to have a backup visit for you, but if the backup visit's not available, you know something? You're not going to be there by accident. And them not being there is not going to be an accident. Somewhere in the vicinity, there is a ripple. Nearby where you are, there is somebody that needs to hear about Jesus. It will be daylight. You'll be prepared and prayed up. Just knock on some doors either side of that, right in there. Just try to sense. Maybe you see somebody in the neighborhood, whatever. Just ask the Lord to come. Is it where, which way, is it left or right? I mean, the plane's going to fly over right in the sky. It's left, dummy. No, you're not going to see arrows and all that, but you know, you're spiritual, God's there. You just keep knocking around in there. You'll find, just pray about where to go. Don't worry if the first few people are not interested. Somebody there wants to hear about Jesus. How do you know that? Five times in a row we've gone, five times in a row it was somebody in the vicinity. We went to go find a guy named Juan. We'd bumped into him three different times in Robstown. He said, you see those two cars right there down there by that stop sign? Yeah, I live in that house right there. No problem. So we finished up everything, went to that door, and Gloria comes to the door and she goes, you know, Juan live here? And I said, no one. No Juan live here. See, no one here. I had a friend of mine named Juan Moa. I used to tell him, I said, you one more time. But Brian started witnessing to her, and we just stood there at the doorstep. Little girls, you know, bringing flowers to mom and distractions. Mom doesn't care. She just keep on talking, pal. She said, you know what? Why don't you guys come in? sat down in there. Brian just kept talking. I don't know how long that visit lasted, 45 minutes or an hour. And she prayed to receive Jesus Christ as her Savior. And then just to be sure, I went over a little bit of kind of preliminary discipleship stuff with her and all that kind of stuff. And boy, she was solid, solid. We got ready to go and she said, "You know something? You weren't looking for Juan. You were looking for me. God sent you here." She said that. You know what that tells me? You may not end up where you think you're supposed to be, but you are where you're supposed to be. It's nearby. And don't you worry. A few rough visits is nothing. That all that says is you're wasting your time at this door. Go where I want you to be. And that's what that means. And you'll be fine. Father, we are elated. So great to see the folks here. It's so great to be working together for the opportunity to bring souls to Jesus Christ. What a privilege, what a great opportunity, what a enthusiasm these people have shown and a diligence to be here every Thursday night in addition to all the other times they're here. Not just service times, but many of these folks have been here on work days or like the Bryants, working here all the time and Douglas here helping us out recently and Fred coming down doing stuff, Father Bobby down here practicing. I mean, just lots of folks hanging around here doing things and to make a commitment for 2 more hours to learn this, Father, I pray that it will reap great benefits to your harvest, to their lives, to their families. May we experience the joy of telling others what Jesus Christ has done for us. Father, take care of us now and watch over your people. Father, I look down this list here and I pray these names they'll be like family to us when we're praying for them. And I ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, save souls for your sake. Amen.